Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Obviously, we all watched the game last night. As you said, the Clippers ran away with it. Finals 118-104. Really wasn't that close. To your point, they were up 30-13 at the end of the first quarter and never got to be in doubt. And you've seen enough. Like, I mean, I picked the Clippers in seven, but you're like, it's over. I think it's still a very good series, even though I expect them to win. You think it's over. You've seen enough.
What I mean by that is I just think the Clippers have found their way, have made the necessary adjustments. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk or anything, but, you know, like this is the first time we're seeing Kawhi and Paul George. I think they've had back-to-back 30-plus point games each, Chris. Had never happened for them.
First,
never.
They joined Scottie and Michael, Shaq and Kobe, LeBron and Kyrie, and there's one more group.
But this
I don't know
is
if it
what
was LeBron
this,
away, but every one of them, Rob, there were four. Four duos have done that in addition to Kawhi and Paul George, and all of them won a championship.
That's what this was the plan when they put this together, and we're finally starting to see them play like what we thought. You know what I mean? Like they could. And we've already talked about the coaching changes, Chris, and adjustments by Ty Lue. I think he's coached great, don't you?
Absolutely.
I really
yes.
do.
Yes.
Like we're seeing Ty Lue can coach. He's not just going with what he had, and he's taking a look at it and making adjustments. And even people could say, well, Donovan Mitchell, whatever. He had 37. I mean, I know a lot of it was garbage because they were up big, but it wasn't like he had 13 points. He had 37 points. They did what they had to do, and I just think that they've turned a little bit of a corner, and they're fearless now. They've been down twice. You talked about it earlier, Chris. No team had ever done it. Come back from 2-0
well,
twice.
Well, to win a series.
Right, yeah, right. They haven't done
it yet,
but I'm just saying.
They would be the first team ever. Yep.
Right, but they're on that path that they easily could have after being down, you know, and losing two up there. But even when they lost those two, Chris, it was down the stretch. They were in those games. They didn't get blown out in Utah.
They were close games in Utah.
Right. They didn't get blown out. Utah didn't run them out the gym where you like, oh, they can't win up there. I think they can win. I really do. I like what I see. I like the team a lot. I really do. I picked them to go to the championship out of the West, Chris. I feel better about my pick every day that they play. Yes, and I was one, even when they fell down 0-2, I said it wasn't over, right?
Right.
I did say that.
To your point
I said that
about,
in the first round.
Right. Donovan Mitchell, he had 37 last night, but he was 9 for 26. So
right.
Obviously they made him work for it. I'm with you in that. Look, I said all along this year, my pick was the Lakers. But I said the only team in the West that has a legitimate chance of beating a healthy Lakers team, healthy, was the Clippers. When the Lakers went down and the Clippers survived Dallas, I said they're the best team remaining in the West. And I think they're the only team that could – I would pick Brooklyn certainly over them healthy. But I think the Clippers are built to give Brooklyn some problems. Like they could – you know, make it tough and really give them some issues should they meet in the finals, even if Brooklyn's healthy. That said, Rob, I don't think this series is over. Again, I picked the Clippers in seven, but I don't think they're like in total control now. You know, a lot of people would say, you know, they got the Jazz where they want them.
I never
now
said,
they're,
I didn't say total
themselves.
Control. I just think they're going to win the series. I think it's going to be a six-game series minimum. Could go
well,
seven.
Well, it's got to be six.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I meant that it could end in six if they go and get that win in Utah. You know what I mean? That they could come
right.
back and close it out is what I meant.
I think the Jazz still has a shot Even though I think the Clippers are the better team, every time you think you got a handle on the Clippers, it seems like you don't, whether good or bad. You know, you think they're rolling, and then somehow we thought they were rolling a year ago. I know they're a different team.
No doubt. They were up 3-1 on Denver, right?
They were looking great. Yep. They were looking great. And here's the thing. Utah is much better at home. And you've been up there, Rob.
Yes.
To that arena.
I've been up to the old Salt Palace.
Right, the old place. Yeah. Right. But they had the best home record in the league this year. And then get this, Rob, on the road, they had the same road record as the Indiana Pacers.
Really?
So that tells, yes. That, now, granted, the Pacers, for a bad or mediocre team, were good on the road. But still, they didn't make the playoffs in the East. So that tells you how different Utah is at home and on the road. So Utah still got some fight left. Obviously, could Mike Conley come back? He would make a difference if he comes back. And, Rob, the knee with Kawhi. Now, he said after the game, I'm fine. No big deal. Ty Lue, everybody who's talked about it has said he's good. But we saw him wincing, and we saw him take himself out for the last 4 minutes. And so hopefully it doesn't become an issue. But I'm just saying, these are little things that tell me this thing is far from over.
But the only thing with the coming out, though, let me just say this real quick. They're up by 15 or whatever. He should come out in the final 4 minutes. You know what I mean? Like the game, I know they got it down to, 10?
Well, for precautionary reasons, because everybody else stayed in. But
right, they should have come. But
yeah,
they
got it to 10.
Right, but they never really liked it. They cut it to 10, and then the Clippers put it back up to 13,
right,
and it was 15. You know what I mean? It wasn't like 10, and they got a shot to make it 8 or 7. It wasn't like that. They got it down to 10, and then right away they got a 3, and it was 13.
Right.
And then it was 15.
Paul George,
right? Am I right?
He's been really good in the clutch. He's been like the fourth quarter. I shouldn't say the clutch. They've had their problems in the clutch. But in the fourth quarters, like, he's really put up nice numbers. Even when he didn't shoot it well throughout the first three quarters, he's done that. He's done it in the fourth. So, but here's the other thing, Rob. As you know, a lot of these games, not all of them, but a lot of these games throughout the postseason, the Clippers have kind of gone as Marcus Morris goes, as crazy as that sounds, because he's far from their best player. He shoots fifth in the playoffs, 11 games. He has shot 50% from three at home in the Staples Center. On the road, 21%. He's 1 of 14 from behind the arc in Utah. So I'm just saying all of that to say, this Clippers fans, don't relax just yet.
No,
this is a series.
I don't think they think it's a layup. But they got. I don't think anybody, Chris, given what happened last year, right? There's no way anybody's putting it in the bag. Right.
They make it tough. I mean, again, and they got to get out of this series, but they, for some reason, they do make it tough.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steph Curry, Luka Doncic at the guards, Nikola Jokic at center, Kawhi, and Giannis at the forwards. Any issues?
I think they got it right.
I vote, as you know, I'm a voter. I had a different team.
What'd you have?
I had Chris Paul and Steph at the guards. Of course, Jokic at center. I moved Luka to the forward spot.
Okay, so
Had Luka and Giannis. Because Kawhi, he played more than typical, but he still only played 52 games.
Okay.
So my second team was The second team, Rob G, what was the second team?
Second team guards, Dame Lillard, Chris Paul. Forwards, LeBron James and Julius Randle. And at center, Joel Embiid.
Rob, my team, my second team, and I really feel good about this guard pick. Dame Lillard, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Devin Booker.
So you had him, okay.
I had Devin Booker on my second team. I had Embiid at center, Kawhi at forward, and Julius Randle at forward. I think LeBron, I agree with what Antonio said. Obviously, he's one of the best players in the league, but what did he play? He didn't play 50 games, I don't even think.
Yeah, I think that's on reputation.
Right, right. And I get it that a lot of guys miss games, but he missed even more than most.
He missed a lot of games that should have knocked him out of that. I agree.
Now, I put him on my third team. Rob G, what was the third team?
Third team, at center, Rudy Gobert. At guards, Brad Beal and Kyrie Irving. At forwards, Paul George and Jimmy Butler.
All right, again, I was different here, Rob. And LeBron played 45 games, Rob.
45 out of 72.
Yeah,
that's a lot of missed games.
Again, I feel good about this guard. I had Donovan Mitchell, third team. And the reason I had Booker ahead of Mitchell was largely because Booker played more games. But Westbrook, I put Westbrook on at the other guard, Rob. I mean, we're looking over the triple-double, but I mean, come on. And they were winning toward the end of the year. I didn't have a net. And Kyrie, he played as many games as some of these guys, and he was tremendous. But I did hold the 3 weeks where he just took off for whatever reason against.
But,
and obviously the other two didn't play enough hard.
But, Chris,
KD.
The problem with I think why Kyrie deserved it is the 50-40.
That's fine, but that's not, not the first person to do that.
No. But
he's great. I mean, he's obviously one
of
the best.
He had a great season numbers-wise. What was it, 50%, 50-40-90?
He had a great
90.
Season. Yep. 50, there's 40, no 50-40-90, and his number, you know. I mean, Kyrie is awesome. I mean, if he played, but I just don't, I can't. I'm really like Antonio now. I'm like, look, guys got to play games. And he just took 3 weeks off just – and nobody knows why. And so that I did look at that. I had Gobert at center. I had LeBron third team. And I think I had Tatum at the other four. I'm not sure if I had Tatum or Butler. I couldn't find my official ballot. But I know it was either Tatum or Butler at the other forward spot. Who were the forwards, Rob G?
For the third team was Jimmy Butler and Paul George.
Okay. Yeah, I know I didn't have Paul George.
Paul George had a great season. He
had a good
numbers
year.
Wise, he did.
He had a good year.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, you're more of a stickler on the games than most people. And I get it. Once you have your formula,
I
what's
feel
important
more
to
so
you,
that way nowadays, right? Because so many guys are, you know what I mean? Just kind of, I think it's important that dudes start valuing playing most games again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
whatever.
I think it's going the other way, but I'm with you. I just can't get over, like, where we are, how many games people miss, you know, just the circumstances. Like, when you think that these guys used to play 82, it's mind-boggling. Am I right?
I mean, think about it. You know you're going – Jordan played 82 most seasons in his career. It wasn't
played 82.
Right. As a 40-year-old man. But even like now, and I get this, I'm not going to kill guys for sitting out when they're about to go to the playoffs, right? Sitting out the last few games. But Jordan didn't do that.
I know.
And a lot of guys didn't do that.
I agree with that. That's the one thing that I look at. He didn't take a rest and say, oh, we got this wrapped up. I'll skip the last 8 games or just play a little bit or whatever. You know what I mean? And whatever, get ready for the playoffs. It wasn't like that.
No, as Kobe's wife said at his Hall of Fame induction, he felt like it was for the fans. You know, he was like, look, and he's right. I mean, people, that's a lot of money to go to a game. And so I applaud him.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.
And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's talk about Joel Embiid. And again, you had an interesting take. We talked about him with Antonio Daniels last hour. Yesterday, he's 0 for 12. He in the second half.
That's mind-boggling, Chris. Mind-boggling.
Well, like I said, I think that's an aberration. I mean, a great player can have a bad half, even a bad whole game. And I mentioned whose record he broke. He broke Michael Jordan's record. I don't know if it's a record, but it was the most misses without a make in a half of a playoff game, at least since MJ did it, 0 for 11, game four against Miami in 1997. Now, the Bulls were up 3-0. It didn't matter. Jordan still finished with 29 that game. They lost that game but won the next one, so they won it in five. But anyway, that can happen. Now, the layup, that's a horrible miss. Skip, we talked about on Undisputed today, Rob. Skip Bayless said, and I can't really disagree, he said that's the worst miss he's ever seen. Like, you know, an important playoff game miss that he's ever seen from a great player. And it's hard to debate that, right? I mean, Kobe has airballed. We've talked about that, but he was young. At that point, he wasn't a great player.
That was his rookie year, right, right.
So it's hard for me to argue that, Rob. That miss, I mean, that's a point-blank layup. I don't care if you can't jump. You're 7 feet tall as it is. It's right there.
That's a bad miss right there.
He missed the whole bat. Like, it went over the side of the – like, he's a right-handed.
It went on the other side of the backboard.
Yes, it doesn't even hit the rim. I don't know how in the world he missed that, period, but certainly so badly.
And then Simmons knocks the ball out of bounds. Like,
right. And that was it. That was it. But you're kind of down on Embiid, it feels like.
It's not just that. It's not – obviously he had a bad game. So, Chris, like I said, he had, what, 39 and 40 or whatever the first two games.
He was averaging 35 and 10 going into the game. In the series, yeah.
But it's just not that. It's that – I think you talked about it. It's like he's walking on eggshells too. It's like you just don't know what you're going to get.
No.
He's always on the ground.
Like
he's always grabbing something. Oh, my God. Your playoff hopes are like up in smoke, Chris, every 15 minutes.
Right.
Because you don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. If I was the Sixers and there was a situation where I could move from underneath him, I might. I would have to seriously consider it because I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough or be around to help them win a championship. I really don't. I think it's a major issue. And not, I'm not overreacting to the 0 for 12 and the missing of the bunny or whatever. I'm just telling you, it drives you crazy because you just don't know. And I remember when the Packers finally gave up on Brett Favre, they just couldn't do it anymore. You know what I mean? It was like, and his was different. It was just like, you just didn't know if Brett was going to play. You know what I mean? And you just, even though they knew he had plenty of time left still in the tank, you know what I mean? But they just decided that we're going to move on, and they did it. They had somebody in place, obviously, and the 76ers would have to have a plan B. But I would be more apt, especially if this season blows up on them, say that they wind up losing this series somehow, Chris. I would consider it.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up because he made second team All-NBA, and now he's eligible, Rob, for a Supermax extension. So they could give him a four-year extension at about $191 million. Now, it wouldn't begin. Here's the interesting thing. It wouldn't begin until the 2023-24 season. So think about that. So that's what you got. This is 2021, so you got 21, 22, 22, 23. So you got, that would be 6 years you're locking him up. And here's, I'm going to be honest. If I was the Sixers, I hear you because it's not crazy. As great as he is, and Rob, I think arguably, he's the best player in the league. Arguably. The problem is, as you said, my goodness, he's so fragile. I mean, I really, every time he falls, I just feel like he might not get up. You know, and he's always seems to be a step away from calamity, as I said. He's 27 years old.
I think that's fair.
I would not lock him up for 6 years. I wouldn't lock him up for 6 years. I would play out. We got 2 more years left at huge money, max money. We got 2 years left of you. I'd leave it at that. And to your point, if he got mad, oh, I want my extension or I want out, then I would be probably look at it like, okay, well, let's see what we get for you. You know, I don't even think they have to necessarily be the aggressors and look to move him. If he gets mad because you're not extending him, then we'll go from there. If he doesn't get mad, then I'm playing him out the next 2 years, Rob. Because the thing is, I just really don't think I could count on him for 6 years.
I agree. I think it's a pipe dream to think that he's, A, going to be healthy for the next 6 years or any part of that. And if you could, it would be, you got to really roll the dice. You hate to break up. You hate to give up a guy who's that good, Chris, when he's able to play. But there's a big if there.
The risk is, and look, like I said, he might be the best player in the world. The dude is awesome. But the risk is if you hold on to him, which I would take that risk. But eventually, if he continues to get injured, maybe the injuries start to really wear on him and his game's not the same, then the trade value goes way down, especially when he's at max money, you know? Like, his trade value is probably higher than ever. And I wouldn't trade him in the offseason. But he's never played more than 64 games, Rob, in a season. Right. And he's young. So, I don't know. Maybe is it something to do with nutrition? Is it a training regimen? If I'm the Sixers, I would try my darndest to get him on the absolute best training program that I can. Jokic, Rob, you saw what happened in the offseason. He lost a ton of weight. And he came back and, you know, wins the MVP. So it's interesting. I don't think you're crazy because I do think, obviously, he's better than Ben Simmons. But you could, Rob, theoretically build around Ben Simmons. And I mean, you basically play him like Giannis. He's the ball handler. He's the point, right? And surround him with 4 shooters. And let him drive, let him post. He's a very good post player.
That's a good comparison. That is doable.
Yeah, you could do that. And so, you know, it's something for them to look at because Embiid, as great as he is, you just, man, you have trouble counting on him.